Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Well, something for all the bikers on Lakeshore Drive today listening to WGN Radio. I can tell they are, because when they drive by the river, they wave at us going over the river. The bridge. 9:44, Dean Richards, Sunday morning. WGN, time for the Week in Health. Dr. Jeremy Silver joining us. He's the Medical Director of Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Just in general, Doctor, good morning, first of all. Nice to have you with us, as always.
Good morning, Dean.
So, people getting on their bikes, you know, for the first time maybe in, you know, months to do bike the drive today. Is there any kind of preparation one should go through to, you know, before they actually get out there?
Well, first of all, the very first thing I always do when I get on a bike is put on my helmet. So head injuries, even off a bicycle, can be severe, debilitating, or life-changing. And it's so easy to just strap one of those things on. So I'd always recommend a helmet. And then, of course, stretching before you get on the bike. The older I get, Dean, the more my legs feel like two pieces of timber. And and so I try to stretch those hamstrings out.
I would think that you'd have to train a little bit cardio-wise, right? Because if you're going from one end of Lakeshore Drive to the other, even though you can stop and rest, that's a pretty good cardio workout, isn't it?
It is, you know, in some senses, it may be an excellent stress test, but hopefully not. But, you know, the key is if you have any kind of underlying heart condition or a chronic condition such as kidney disease or diabetes, it's good to run your exercise regimen by your physician just to make sure that you're not overdoing it. Like you said, it can be dangerous to overexercise. I guess the good news is on a day like today, it's so nice and cool outside this morning that
right.
At least we're not contending with severe heat.
Yeah, that's it. It is kind of a perfect morning for something like this. And, you know, people can stop and, you know, hopefully they've brought some water or, you know, sports drink or something along with them so they can rehydrate while they're going through it. I don't think that there are too many people that are, you know, taking this like the Indy 500. I notice a lot of families out there, and you know, people are doing it just to have a family event in a place where you never really get to ride your bike ever. So you know, hopefully everyone's going to be okay with that. Now you say that you find that the less you ride your bike, the stiffer your legs are. I find the less I ride my bike, the smaller the bike seems to get somehow every year.
Can't argue with it.
I don't know what kind of masochist invented these bike seats that are so tiny.
You know, we were actually biking up the North Shore yesterday with my son, who did 10 miles for the first time. He's a young guy, and he turns and says to me about halfway through, "Dad, should this hurt?"
Yeah, right. Your son is 100% correct on that. It shouldn't hurt, but it does for some reason. So let's, where do we start off this week? Let me just start with a quick COVID update, because we're still getting news about new vaccines and numbers going up. We're starting to hear, interestingly, I guess not surprisingly, that a lot of people who are at the DNC at the United Center are out with COVID now. That's not a big surprise if you're in a place with that many people at one time, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it is still out there circulating and mutating, thought to be at this round pretty infectious, meaning that it's pretty easy to spread, and then you're in an enclosed space and the air is circulating, or the person beside you is laughing or coughing, and there you have it.
So all the you know, proper precautions probably makes some sense in that there is a little bit of an outbreak now, and as the weather is going to begin to cool down, although it's not going to happen for a week or so at least anyway, more and more people are going to be inside, so that's going to be an issue. What's the latest on all the vaccine updates right now?
Yeah, so, you know, we're still in this flirt variant, which is the most recent variation of the virus, and it's continuing to mutate as we discuss. The good news is that the most recent round of vaccines that's coming out actually this week, I believe the first week in September, you're going to see this at least in you know, the big box pharmacies, the CVSs and the Rite Aids, is going to be targeted to these circulating variants, which is great news. So it's a great time to go in and get your fall vaccines, which would include the flu, COVID, and certainly others, depending on your age and vaccine status. But certainly now is a great time to go ahead and get that done.
Yeah, you mentioned the flu vaccine. Is this a good time to get it? Because normally I think people usually wait until closer to January for their flu vaccines.
Yeah, the flu, you know, there's never a bad time to get the vaccine. And I usually get it in the fall, sometime in late September, early October. That's when I tend to go and get vaccinated. But it certainly doesn't hurt you to get the vaccine anytime, even in the middle of the summer. You say, I forgot to get it. It's never going to hurt. They do come out with a new vaccine every fall, and it's based on what they're seeing over in Australia as the flu kind of circulates from that part of the world over to this hemisphere. But definitely, the new COVID vaccine is going to be ready next. Like I said, I believe next week or this coming week, I should say.
Okay.
So great time to do it.
A couple of COVID related questions already coming in from the 520 area code. I've had vertigo since COVID in November. Is there a correlation between vertigo as a long COVID symptom?
I'm sorry to hear that. You know, long COVID can really impact the body in a lot of different ways, and it's certainly conceivable. Some studies say up to 30% of COVID-19 patients that have long COVID or extended symptoms have had sort of neurologic symptoms that can include vertigo, the spinning sensation, or tinnitus, that's the ringing in the ears. And so I would recommend to that person that they get referred to a neurologist. That's a person who specializes in disorders of the nervous system, so they could potentially get treated or hopefully cured from that at some point.
But that is something which can come from having COVID? Vertigo?
Yes, it could.
Okay. Here is someone asking, who should take Paxlovid for COVID?
Great question. So Paxlovid is an antiviral. It's actually made up of two separate drugs that basically work to disable the virus and its ability to multiply in the body. And if it's taken in the first 5 days of becoming ill, if you are a high-risk person, then it can lower the risk of needing to be in the hospital and be, even more importantly, lower the risk of having severe illness or needing to be in the ICU. And there's a wide, broad definition of high risk. So some say anybody over 50, others say over 65. Years of age, but certainly over 65 years of age, and anybody with a chronic condition like cancer, diabetes, heart disease, pregnant women, if your immune system is weak or you have an autoimmune disease, and even for folks with mental health disorders. So that's a lot of folks that could stand to benefit. And there's some thought, speaking of long COVID, that taking Paxlovid may limit or help reduce the risk of developing a long COVID symptom. That's still kind of being looked at, but a lot of reasons why it might be in your best interest to take that medicine.
Okay. And what kind of relief should it provide to you?
I don't know that you'll necessarily feel a relief. It won't shorten the course, meaning that you'll still be sick the same number of days as you were. You just may not be as sick as you might have been had you not taken it, which is a hard thing to wrap your mind around. But I think the idea is, if you think about somebody who's super ill on life support on a ventilator, and then you think about yourself coughing and feeling horrible in your bed at home, there's a big difference between those two individuals. And the idea is that if you're in that group that could benefit from taking it, you're essentially buying yourself an insurance policy. So you're still going to feel like total garbage. It's still going to be miserable, but you're buying down your risk of having something seriously bad go wrong.
Pretty much since we started talking about COVID on this segment, 4 years ago, maybe something like that, people have constantly had questions about their vaccination schedule. Here's the 708 area code saying, I had a COVID shot in July. How long should I wait to get the new shot? I'm 75 years old. Another that says, I just got a COVID booster in April. How long should I wait to get the new booster?
So for the July person, I assume that's July 2024. Probably I would wait a bit. I would probably give it 6 months before I went and got vaccinated again, just because I don't want to wait too long because I want to take advantage of the new vaccine. But I do have some immunity from that recent vaccine. And so let that immunity wane a bit before taking the new one. But as always, individual circumstances may vary, and I would certainly have that conversation with your doctor. As for the person who was writing about the April vaccine, that's a little further back. We're now hitting September. I think it's probably reasonable to start considering moving on to the new series. But again, it may depend on individual circumstances. So definitely talk to your doctor, but that's my general recommendation for both those folks.
Is it generally 6 to 8 months that you would wait before you got a booster, or a year, or is there really not a time frame you can put on it?
I think somewhere in the 3 to 4 month range is probably the early, like kind of the first part of that a wait period, if you're going to be on the early side, and then 6 to 7 months on the late side. But then there are folks that specialize in the immune system, and I've seen other numbers out there. So whenever you start to see a lot of folks saying a lot of different things, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But I think somewhere between 3 and 7 months is probably the right time frame.
Yeah, here's another that said, after all these years of avoiding COVID, I finally succumbed with a mild case. I'm 75 years old in pretty good health, but should I get the newest vaccine soon or wait?
Yeah, there's another great example. You've got immunity from recently being infected. Unless this person, let's say, for instance, the person then let out that they had leukemia, and then I think I would be a little more stringent. I'd maybe count. I'd say, okay, let's count 90 days and get you vaccinated. But if this person is otherwise healthy and they just had the virus, I would give it a few months personally and maybe wait towards the end of the year to try and extend that immunity.
Yeah, some great advice. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. I hope you have a great Sunday today and a great Labor Day weekend. Doc, thank you so much.
Dean, take care.